Foster here, and welcome to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I am the creator of the Big Brand Formula and president of Jerry Foster Branding, where we specialize in working with service-based entrepreneurs who want to create a big brand and a strong message that sells so you can excite, delight, and ignite your market and make it easier to get clients. So, please stick around to the end of the show, and we will share how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes or so. In the meantime, let's go. Okay, welcome everybody to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Jerry Foster, the big branding guy, also known as the brand and evangelist. And I've been sitting here chatting with this man. Oh my God, he's got a great personality. Used to live in Arizona, moved to Nashville, Tennessee, but just has just that warmth. And he's celebrating their wedding anniversary, 19 years of his wife today. But welcome to the show, Ryan England. How you doing, guy?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. And congratulations again on 19 years of bliss with your marriage.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's awesome. So if you don't mind, Ryan, real quickly, tell our audience exactly what your company does.
Yeah, I founded Core Matters about a decade ago, and we partner with scaling companies to help them attract and keep great people. And we do this by implementing our proven process, the Core Fit Hiring System.
Wow, the right people. Now, let's unpack that a bit. How do you define the right people for a company?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
You talk about a subjective interpretation, the right people.
Yeah. So most people, when I ask them to define the right person for me, and let's just take, so we do a lot of work in the trades. So let's just take a plumber, for example. No one has ever told me, oh, he can unclog a drain like nobody else, or hey, he can replace a fixture. Nobody's ever told me that. What they tell me is the guy shows up on time. He takes care of the customer, makes him feel like $1 million, cleans up after himself. All of the things that they use to describe the right person has nothing to do with their skills and everything to do with their behaviors and their mindset. Yet every job description I've ever seen on the planet is a bulleted list of all the skills and abilities and experience that they have to have. And then we're disappointed because we're not getting the right person. And I find that the reason you don't get the right person is because you've never taken the time to define the right person, which is why it's $1 million question. Like, most people have never answered it because they've never taken the time to think through it.
So do you work with companies in certain industries, manufacturing versus retail versus trades versus service?
The majority of our work has been in construction and the trades.
Okay.
I have a real passion there. That's my why. My dad was a blue collar owner operator, watched him work way too many hours because he couldn't build a team of people he trusted. Yeah. And I run into a lot of entrepreneurs that are the same way. But we have worked with other industries, but the ones that I get most excited about are those blue collar ones. Usually sometimes it's a couple, sometimes it's a man or a woman, and they grew up in the trades, either watching mom and dad do it, or someone put a wrench in their hand when they were 18 and said, you should check this out. And so they've been there, they've done it. And working with them, just salt of the earth people, it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. And we focus a lot on those frontline employees, which is where a lot of recruiters and staffing agencies won't touch. So we're filling a void that's out there in the marketplace.
So what's causing that issue? Because someone like yourself, you must see what they don't see in terms of how to hire the right person. What's the biggest problem that you're solving for this company? Do they have blind spots, or are they stuck
of course
looking at resumes? What's going on?
Yeah, a bunch of things there. But here's how I start this whole thing with everybody. If you're not attracting the right people, we got to define the right people. But if we're not attracting the right people to our business, we're probably not attractive to the right people.
Ooh. Oh boy, I like that. That's a nugget right there. I like that.
So we look at the employer brand. What do you put out there about yourself? And I will say this as a blanket for the industry.
Yeah.
Anybody in the trades. In the last 20 years, knowledge work has become the go-to for a lot of people. Go to college, get coding skills, go work for a tech company. That's been the big thing. And I think a lot of these construction companies have kept their head down and they've kept on their old way of doing things. And they said, we're not competing for those people. We're competing for the people that want to work with their hands and want to put a wrench in their hands and get the work done.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the construction industry, the trades, have done nothing to remain relevant when it comes to attracting the best people. They've got websites that are 10 years old, haven't been updated in forever. A lot of them, especially smaller ones, still use an AOL or a Gmail email address. There's no branding there. They're spotty at best on all of their online social media. And where do most job seekers go today? They go online. So if you aren't relevant, if you aren't active, if you aren't presenting a solid employer brand online, you're not going to attract the best people.
So what's keeping them stuck in their old ways of thinking and behaving? Are they getting bad intel or they don't know what to do, who to turn to? What's your take on that?
Change is hard. And most of the change starts within. So it's not like I can just change a process or change a person. I have to look at myself and say, am I the kind of leader that I need to be so that I can attract the right people?
Yeah.
And I think that's where they often get stuck because a lot of them grew up in the industry. And so they have the mindset of someone who works in the field. Mm-hmm. And we deal with the generational divide and we deal with generational issues because the reality is that 40% of people in construction are going to age out in the next 6 to 10 years. They're going to retire. 40%. You think we have a labor crisis now? Wait 5 more years. And they side with those people. They side with the old schoolers, the old timers. And they say, hey, 30 years ago, we didn't do it like this. We didn't have to worry about websites and clean uniforms. And I even had someone say, hey, this is a man's world. I was like, if you want to solve the labor crisis, invite women into the trades. The women. Like, there's 50% of the population we're ignoring right now. Those types of changes, that mindset shift, those are big mindset shifting changes that we have to make.
Oh my God.
You're not open to it. You're not going to win.
And you're absolutely right on that. And just from an outside perspective, this is a branding website. And so, branding podcast. And so from that perspective, I think about how any kind of contractor, any kind of trade, I used to do a lot of branding for painting and decorating contractors, landscape contractors. I've been in that whole arena. And you talk about mindset. Oh my God. One of the biggest ones that just baffles me, because I could understand this before the internet, which was, hey, do a great job and you'll get referrals.
Yeah.
It's this old school mindset called, we do a great job, we'll get word of mouth, will take us to the promised land. But along comes the internet, which changed the whole game. What's your take on that? Because, talk about stuck in their old ways. What do you think?
Yeah, we talk a lot about employee referrals. Number one way, most cost-effective way, fastest way to grow a team of people that are the right people. Because you never go to the guy that's not performing and doesn't fit there and say, hey, who do you know that's like you? We never do that. We go to the top performers. We go to the people we want to clone. And we say, hey, who are your friends? And they say, hey, you know what? Yeah, if I know anybody, I'll go ahead and I'll let you know or I'll tell them. And then inevitably, referrals don't come in. Because asking Jimmy to refer his friend is high risk for Jimmy. Because what if it doesn't work out for the friend? The other thing we do is we say, hey, we'll incentivize you to take this risk, but your friend's got to be here for 90 days.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's thinking, my job is not to retain them. I'm not his boss. Like, it's your job. And so we set up all of these rules for the way employee referrals work. And then when we don't get results, we say, nobody knows anybody. No. What you're asking Jimmy to do is go to his buddy, Scott, and say, hey, Scott, I know your wife's pissed at me for the last crazy harebrained idea I had, but hey, if you quit your job, go tell your wife that you're going to quit your job and come work where I work. And my boss gives me $500. That's what you're asking Jimmy to do. And Jimmy's like, I ain't doing that. His wife's already pissed at me for the last crazy harebrained idea. I'm not going to ask him to quit his job and put his family at risk. And so when it comes to employee referrals, we think that it's the old way of doing it. if somebody likes working here, they're going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
No, the risk is too great nowadays.
That's right.
Because information travels at light speed. 30 years ago, information didn't travel that fast.
Right? And on top of that, when you think about the information age that we live in, where now it's all about Googling and searching someone out, if they don't, from a branding perspective, if they don't have the right kind of branding in place, I'm not talking about the visual stuff. No one's going to hire a contractor just because of their color scheme and how their layout looks on the page. But from my perspective, again, this is brand forward leadership. If that contractor, that trade company, whoever it is, decides that they're going to be looked upon as a leader, as the go-to brand, an expert at what they do, then the question becomes, how do you live up to meeting those expectations? And that starts with what? Like you said, there are people, right people, that are going to live up to the standards from a branding perspective so that they can show it the right way. And therefore, not only do they get more word of mouth, but the bids and the proposals and all those things, they get higher conversions. Am I right, Ryan? Am I crazy?
You are absolutely right. In fact, I talk about this in my keynote. There are three types of experiences in every company. There's your brand experience, what people see. There's your customer experience, which is what they crave. That's why they do business with you. But then there's one that we always forget about. We shove it under the carpet and we're like, I don't want to deal with that one. And that's the employee experience. Mm. And we focus too much on brand experience. I got a flashy website. I got wraps on my cars. I got cool business cards. They focus on the brand experience thinking that's what matters. They spend a little bit of time on customer experience. We want to make sure we get good reviews and our customers like us. But who's responsible for the customer experience? Your employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend zero time on making sure that the employees have a great experience. And if we would just flip the script, our employees would take amazing care of our customers if we took great care of them. And guess who's going to take care of our brand in the information age?
Mm.
The customers,
yeah.
Review sites, reputation management. They're going to take care of all that for you.
That's right. Can you spell Yelp? Exactly.
And so we need to flip the script and we need to say, hey, we're going to put more effort into our employee experience than we put into our brand or our customer experience and let our employees take care of it for us. And that's a huge change that organizations have to go through. It's culture shifting type of change.
And you're also hitting upon something, which is, it's not just the folks out in the field. It's the people inside the company, because that's all part of the customer experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So one of the other perceptions that I have about the trade industry, having had my experience there, is that there is this, you ever heard this expression, the contractor from hell, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I've worked with them.
Oh my God. All these fears and stereotypes about not showing up on time and doing shoddy work and underbidding, and then coming in and saying, we got behind that wall and we need another $50,000.
I call that the change order contractor.
Ah, gee. So do you help with that as well?
Oh, sure. We don't get too involved in the customer acquisition, the customer experience side. We really stay focused on the people. But you know what? If we're working on the people experience, it's impacting every part of the business. I tell people, we're going to focus on employer branding, which is all about your values, vision, purpose, the way you behave, where you're going, and why you do what you do. We're going to focus on that. And we're going to create ads for that. And we're going to create entire sections of your website around your employer brand. And people always push back and they say, well, hold on, I put a lot of money into my customer acquisition and my ads and everything else. And I go, here's the beauty of this. You can create a compelling ad that will attract the right people to your business. And guess what? The right people are both employees and customers. But if your ad is focused on attracting the right customer, it's really easy to alienate employees.
Ah, said. When you talk about ads, are we talking Google ads, Facebook ads? What exactly?
Yes, all of the above.
Okay.
So one of the things that I struggle with so much is the reluctance of companies to put employee testimonials out. They got customer testimonials all over their website.
Yeah.
But I never see employee testimonials.
Yeah.
And the pushback is always, what if they don't work here for long? I'm like, well, that's a different issue we have to solve. But here's the thing. If I'm a customer, if I'm looking for a landscaper and I go to your website and I see it's front and center, a testimonial about what it's like to work there as a customer. And I click on it and I see Jose, and I was like, whoa, Jose looks like a clean cut professional guy. I want Jose doing my landscaping.
All of a sudden,
guess what? I'm clicking. But if I'm an employee and I go there and I click on it and I hear a customer talking about how the company bent over backwards, went out of their way, worked overtime, did whatever it took to make it perfect, you know what I hear as an employee? They're going to work me to the bone. The customer is always right. And that's their mindset. So we actually alienate the employees that we're looking for by letting a customer tell the story. But if we let the employee tell the story, the customer might be like, I want them at my house.
What a unique approach. Bravo to you for that. Holy.
Thank you.
So that gets to the whole thing of outdated advice.
Sure.
They're prehistoric, outdated in how they're looking at how to grow the company, wouldn't you say?
We have some clients that have gone all in on this and to the point where they take their whole website, trash it, and they put up an entire new website focused on the employer brand and recruiting. And what they find, we've had three of them that have gone all in the last couple of years since COVID, all in. Customer acquisition went up. Ad spend went down. By focusing on the employer brand, who we are, how we behave, the kind of people that we want to hire. Because especially in the trades, if you're in service world and you're sending a technician into Susie Homemaker's home, she wants to know who you're sending. Mm. And when she's on your website and she sees employee testimonials and talks about how awesome it is to work there, all of a sudden she's like, yeah, I want them coming into my home. I want them working on that stuff.
So are you working with companies of a certain size in terms of revenue or number of employees? Give us some idea of who your target
are. Yeah, it depends on the industry, really. But if you're in services, usually you're going to have 5 trucks on the road. If you have less than 5 trucks, you're probably too small to really get the value that we can offer. We do have some programs for them. I have a book that they can read, learn all about this stuff for those smaller companies, but usually they're going to have 5 technicians on the road and the owner cannot be one of them. Because I know a lot of owners are in trucks. On the construction side, usually we see about 30 employees and bigger. And we usually stop around 400 or 500 employees on the larger side. Hmm. Any bigger than that, and there's just too much red tape. It's just too hard to make change. And I'm not patient for that.
What's your story? What's your journey? How did you end up doing this? What inspired you to start your company and so forth?
Like I said, I mentioned it briefly. I grew up in a blue collar household. My dad was an owner operator. Yeah. I used to go to the shop with him and he'd put me to work when I was 7, 8 years old, as soon as I could hold a broom. And I remember being down there on the weekends thinking I'm hanging out with dad. I was like, this is cool. And then I got older and I realized, wait a minute, he's putting me to work. And because I was inexpensive labor that did what I was told. And what I found was that over time, my dad, it wasn't that he was a bad manager. It was that no one ever taught him the skills on how to attract and keep good people. He was never taught this. Mm-hmm. And so he just, school of hard knocks, swung it. And so I did like any good son. And I told dad, I'm not going into the family business. I want nothing to do with what you're doing. So I went the college route and did that and ended up in corporate for about 10 years. And in corporate, I learned the value of process. Mm-hmm. I learned the importance of having a defined process that people could follow of any skill set because it was that good. So I did that for about a decade. And then I left and started my own company thinking that people like my dad, what they really needed was just more revenue. I've heard that cash solves a lot of problems in business. So if you just have more business, you'd be able to hire the people. And I thought that the problem for most of these companies was they didn't hire because they didn't have the money to hire. So if we go get more business, they would need to hire more. Did that for a few years and was working on the revenue side. Very traditional marketing agency, websites, emails, ads. We were Google Ads partner, Yelp partners. We were doing all of that stuff. And about 4 years in, I had a slew of clients just say, Ryan, I don't need leads anymore. I can't take on the extra work. We're good. Thanks for your help. It was awesome. We're done. And when I called them back and said, what's really going on? Every story was the same. I got 2 techs that just quit last week. I've got trucks sitting empty in the yard. Mm-hmm. I can't find anyone good. There's no one out there that wants to work. Everybody's lazy and entitled. You've heard it. And I said, you know what? This is mindset shifting. But if you think about it, at its roots, recruiting is really a marketing activity.
Mm.
It's not an HR activity. It's a marketing activity. It's putting the right message in front of the right people at the right time. Let me have a shot at this. Let me see if I can recruit for you. And I filled a pipeline. I had one client call me. They go, we just hired 4 techs in the last 3 weeks. Turn the ads back on. And I was like, yay, I saved the day. But I realized I had so much fun helping them hire people that I started doing that more. And then what I found was that it wasn't enough to fill the pipeline. Now I had to teach them how to interview for the right people. So we developed an interview process, which I learned in my days in corporate, refined it, made it my own. We call it the core fit screen now. And it's actually my favorite part of our process.
Okay.
But then we interview them and they start. And what do they do? Hey, I'm so excited. It's your first day of work. Here's the keys to the truck. Good luck. Okay. That was what they did for onboarding. And I was like, well, if you want to keep these people, you have to onboard them. You have to make them feel like they belong here. Mm-hmm. So we developed an onboarding process. And then after that, we said, now, what are you doing to engage them long-term? So they stay 3, 4, 5, 10 years. So we developed engagement processes. And so over time, we built the CoreFit hiring system. And that is what I wrote my book about. And that is what we teach our clients how to implement and how to manage and run this whole process. And the reason I do it is because I think back to people like my dad. People that started a business because they thought they could make more, they'd have more time freedom, they'd have more flexibility, they'd have more by being an entrepreneur. And so many entrepreneurs end up becoming a slave to their business. The business ends up owning them. They don't own the business. And they could get out of it if they could find enough people that they trust. Wow. And so I want to help all those entrepreneurs that were like my dad before it's too late.
I would imagine you probably don't have a lot of direct competition, other companies who do the same thing or something very similar. I would assume, but correct me if I'm wrong, that your biggest competition may be indirect competition, which means that the companies that you're helping have this old mindset and think so-and-so, we can do this and get the same end result.
A lot of our competition is either indirect or substitutive.
Yeah.
They think they can do it themselves. Indeed's never been bad to me. I was like, because you don't know any better. It's who moved my cheese. You've been eating moldy cheese for years. You don't know better. and they think they can do it themselves, or they've worked with recruiters and staffing agencies. Yeah. And it's funny is every single person I've ever talked to can't stand the recruiters or staffing agencies they work with, yet that's who they turn to because it's easier to write a check than it is to change.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, I do not have any direct competition that I'm aware of. There's some people that dabble in different areas, but no one has the complete solution like we do. And that's actually one of the biggest challenges is being such a disruptor in the marketplace, is that without a lot of competition, a lot of people are very skeptical of this. It's really different. In fact, one of the things that was interesting, we don't get a lot of referrals. And so I started asking clients, why don't I get referrals? You know what they told me? I can't refer you because you're my secret weapon.
Yeah.
Made this so easy.
That's their mindset. Yeah.
It is. So now I got to work on changing that one. They're like, you make it so easy. We have one client just started with us about 3 months ago. In the 9 months before working with us, he had about 6 quality applications in the 9 months. He wasn't spending any money. He was just doing his own thing, figuring out 6 in 9 months. He goes, now I get 6 a day. He goes, I have to turn it off. He goes, I'm not even promoting on Indeed or any other job board, and people are still coming to me. He's like, it's insane. And he goes, I'm not referring you to anybody that I know because I don't want them taking from me. And I was like, oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's an interesting dilemma to have.
Yeah.
Wow, they want you to be their secret recipe.
I'm the world's best kept secret.
Exactly. I don't want to share you with anybody. I want you to be all mine. Oh my God. So Ryan, if people who are tuning in, especially these trades and all these companies, and they're loving what they're hearing and they need to get in touch with you, what's your contact information?
Best place is my website, corematers.com. And I will say this, I wrote a book. And I wrote it for, there's a lot of examples in the trades in there, but really any business that's growing and struggling to find people can get value out of this book, full of tips and tricks. I'd love to offer a free copy to your listeners.
Please.
If you go to corematers.com/freebook, I ask just that you help me a little bit with shipping and handling. So I don't have two out of pocket, little shipping and handling fee, and I'll mail you a copy of my book, Hire Better People Faster. And I've got 12 bonus downloads for them once they get the book. They can get online, download a bunch of the templates and tools that we use inside of our program, and they can have those for free.
Wow. I love it. Oh my God. So everyone tuning in, grab that book. It's a free offer to you, free giveaway. I love the fact that they can download that. What do you call it again? It's a...
All the bonuses, the tools and templates that we use. Yeah.
Oh, tools, templates, worksheets. It's all in there. Oh my God. I almost want a coffee and I'm not even in your industry. I mean, listen, my friend, before we sign off, is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience today?
The only thing is, if you're not getting the results that you should be able to get from your recruiting efforts, don't keep doing the same thing, just more of it. There's a definition for that.
Yeah,
doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah.
And so it's time for a change. And yeah, it might be radical and it might be a little bit uncomfortable at times, but I promise you that if you unpack what we've talked about here today, and you just take a different approach to your recruiting and your retention efforts, you're going to get all the results you ever wanted from your business.
That is sage wisdom, my friend said. And thank you again for being here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and congratulations again on your special wedding anniversary.
Thank you so much.
And how many kids again?
Two.
Two kids. There you go.
Two kids, yeah.
All right, so everyone... check in, connect with Ryan. He's awesome. You're not going to find anything else like this. That's the key. So again, thanks for being here. And for all of you, thank you for being here as well. And so until next time, this is Jerry Foster, the big branding guy, also known as the branding evangelist, signing off. Take care. Jerry Foster here. Thank you so much for listening to my Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. Now, if you are a successful service-based entrepreneur yourself and you've got amazing expertise, I mean services, skills, talents, and abilities that you offer through your company or yourself, and you've been in business for 5-10 years or more, and you would like to be a guest on this program, I would love to have you. Simply visit jerryfosterbranding.com/brandforwardleadership/apply, and I will certainly check you out and get to know you and so on and so forth. Now, let me just add a couple of other things. Number one, if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media for me? And if so, just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials, okay? And number two, if you know someone that you feel would be a great guest, someone that I should meet and connect with and so on and so forth, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #BrandForwardLeadership, because I love seeing your posts. I love guest suggestions. That's how we all grow. That's how we all connect and make it through this world, which are through our relationships and our connections. And lastly, let me throw this in. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. I'm always on the lookout for not only great guests, but great content. And so therefore, because we're always putting great new stuff out, juicy stuff, make sure you don't miss any episodes in the future. So please go ahead and subscribe. And I also love what? I love support. I love love. So your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. So if you can find it in your heart to go ahead and show me that kind of support and love, I would really appreciate it. And on a second note, if you would like to know more about me, the work that I do, simply go to my website at jerryfosterbranding.com or follow me on LinkedIn or Facebook at Jerry Foster Branding. Or Instagram at Jerry Foster, Big Brand Man. Okay? Jerry Foster, Big Brand Man. Again, thanks for listening. Until we see you the next time, take care.